With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect for breakfast. Like, buy a sausage burrito and add a sausage McMuffin for a dollar. Get more than you expect with new McValue at McDonald's.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to plug into the future of podcasting? The Podcast Show is back. The biggest international festival for the business of podcasting hits London on the 21st and 22nd of May. Join over 10,000 creators, brands, and audio pros for two packed days at the Business Design Center in Islington. We're talking over 130 game-changing sessions with industry heavyweights, award-winning talent, and exclusive parties and networking events that go way beyond the show. And that's not all. The Podcast Show Live brings your favorite podcasts to life at venues across London all week long. Day passes start from just £109. Book now at thepodcastshowlondon.com.
Merkel Media.
Good, everybody. This is Joel Thomas, and this is Free the Rabbits. We are back with another episode. What is going on, all my free range rabbits who are not living in the hole, who are just going down there to get some information, but then living our lives of positivity and connectivity to everyone else around us and trying to build an ecosystem that we can actually fight the system by being connected to each other. And I think that's very important. I think that's just an important concept no matter what side that you fall on when it comes to different ways of thinking. And I love the fact that so far everybody's been on board with this idea. I do want to start today's episode out with what I start out every week with, is some comments from people who have been sending out just massive comments, massive five-star reviews to the show, which helps the algorithm, by the way. As a matter of fact, while you're listening to this right now, go to Apple, go to Spotify, go to YouTube, go to Rumble, leave a review if you can, leave a comment if you can. If you can do both, like it over at Apple Podcast, do it there, because that helps the algorithm, helps the show get out to people who don't know about the show. And I'd say that every week, and I will read some of the good reviews that come through like I am today, and we're going to read a few here from Apple to start with. Joel is always killing it, from Metal Morticia. So happy to see Joel back at it. He is one of my favorite people to listen to. I love that he presents even the ideas he doesn't believe and is willing and honest about changing his mind. Looking forward to what Joel has in store for us. Thank you for saying it that way, because there are tons of topics that I will talk about on this show that I don't necessarily hold as a belief system to myself. It's just research. I think that's something that a lot of researchers get twisted, or people that listen to researchers get twisted, that if somebody has done the research and they're presenting ideas, that they believe those ideas. That's not necessarily true. I'm more than happy to incorporate some of those things if I feel like they fit my worldview of where I'm at currently, but my worldview can change continually throughout life. And I think that's important for all of us to grow and evolve as human beings. Thank you, Metalcore Morticia. We've got the Brewman 0531. Awesome show. I was super excited when it was announced that Joel was making his own podcast, and it's really good. I love how deep he goes down the rabbit hole. So much information to chew on. I'm looking forward to future episodes. Keep up the good work, brother. God bless. #. I'm giving you one right back, the Brewman. And yes, we're just going to continue to go down the rabbit hole, but spend most of our lives out of it. I think that's the point. We need to live our lives. Nickname Rondo, love this show. Joel is so well-read on topics he presents. I love the diversity of subject matter each week. I also feel like I've learned something after each episode. You're doing a great job, Joel. Thank you so much, Rondo. And yes, I just hope to continue to do research and talk about things that aren't necessarily on the cusp of what everyone else is talking about. Or if it is, maybe look at it from a different angle. That's kind of the goal here. We want to look at subject matter that's not necessarily the newest hot thing. Sometimes we will, if it is important and I feel like, hey, I need to talk about this because I want to look at it from my angle. But I just have a wide, diverse amount of research that I do, and I like to talk about it. And that's pretty much what the show is going to be, guys. It's going to be stuff I like. So if you like it too, cool. If not, there's like 3.5 million other podcasts out there that you can go listen to. So it's perfectly acceptable to pick one of those instead. We're going to go to YouTube right now on the last show, Cats of the Gods. We've got Alaviles B, 5 stars, loving the content, listening from Bolivia, shared with everyone here. So we're anxiously waiting for the next episode. Appreciate that, Alaviles. I don't know if that's your full name or you just conglomerated a bunch of different parts of your name, but I try to say that as best as possible as I could. We've got My Key B3353 identifies a free range bunicula. That's a very interesting way of saying free range rabbits. Love it. We got Her Trojan S Shesford 1063. LOL, was just wondering when the next episode would drop. Then I saw it on the homepage. Stoked to be here. I think you're a good man and switched on about everything. 7 doggos here, by the way, mostly rescues. God bless. I love it when people get rescues. I think that's the best way to go. I'm not a big fan of the puppy mill farms and all these farms that pump out animals. Not to say that those animals don't need love too. I just appreciate it when we can go get animals that aren't necessarily getting the help they need or discarded. So I just find that it just fits my style a little more. I'm not telling anyone how to live their life, obviously. We'll go to Spotify. We got William Pence, like this in Giants, Cryptids, etc. Appreciate that. I will definitely always touch on giants and cryptids, but that won't be the only subject matter that I do here. I like to talk about a lot of different things. But you will get that for sure. We got Vic Man 67337. I'm not sure if it's a Mandela effect or not, but Google's doing something weird. I've noticed that a lot of dates have been changed. For instance, a certain birthday, I won't say, but a German man's name is supposed to be 419. Now it's 420. I'll have to look into that. I don't know much about that date changing. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a Mandela effect either. I'm going to do an episode on Mandela effect in the future. I've got some ideas of what I think Mandela effect really is. I don't necessarily know if I believe fully in what people think the Mandela effect is. I think there may be a partial truth there, but I also think that the Mandela effect was one of those conspiracy theories that's designed to keep us away from our creator, very similar to simulation theory. But again, that's my worldview. So if you don't have that worldview, I'm not here to beat you over the head. I'm just telling you how I think and believe. We got Stephen Hardy, recently visited St. Augustine, Florida. Would love to hear more about the Moors, Phoenicians, Egyptian, or any pre-Spanish settlers in America. Love what you do. Keep spreading love and light. I absolutely am going to touch on Moors, Phoenicians, Egyptian culture that was here in the States long before, or actually has never been talked about in the mainstream line of history, but has been talked about throughout Native American culture and is in a lot of history books that aren't considered mainstream authorities. So for sure, I think that's something I would definitely love to touch on. And I've done quite a bit of research on some of those topics too. That being said, again, guys, appreciate the love. This is fantastic. All you free range rabbits out there showing love, share the show, share the show, share the show. That's the way to get it out there. 5-star reviews on any platform you can. Go do it right now. It takes 30 seconds. I always say, like, why is it so hard to go do it if you love the show? Because you're actually helping the show. You're helping the show get out to other people. But again, I appreciate everybody that has already. I appreciate the people that are going to do it. You guys have been fantastic since we started this show, Free the Rabbits. But that being said, we are going to start with today's episode, and I'm doing it on the real Project Bluebeam, because I think that the idea of Project Bluebeam has been vastly changed over the years since the idea came around in 1994. So Serge Manast, and I'll get into him in a minute, was the one that created this idea of Project Bluebeam. Now, he said it came from NASA documents that this is an actual Project Bluebeam that has been designed by NASA in conjunction with the UN to trick us, or essentially deceive us into doing what they want us to do. Now, we're going to break down all the elements of Project Bluebeam today, but I do want to preface it with the idea of Project Bluebeam has just been so diluted and changed when it came to social media. Bluebeam became the all-encompassing buzzword for anything that's fake or anything people think that's fake. Matter of fact, if you ask the average conspiracy person or anyone who's just remotely on the fringes of knowing anything about conspiracies, Project Bluebeam will generally come up. And when you ask somebody what Project Bluebeam is, they will say it's holographic technology that's designed to trick us into thinking that there are aliens and UFOs. I am here to tell you today that Project Bluebeam is not that. It's not that. So when you see a post online, whether it's Instagram, whether it's X, whether it's Facebook, TikTok, when you see a post of someone posting a UFO video or an alien video or a cryptid video, generally this is where you're going to see it. You're just going to see a string of comments that are comprised of 2 to 3 words, either Bluebeam or Project Bluebeam. They will say that definitively, like that is the end all for why this video is fake. Now, I want to say something about these videos too. A lot of them probably are fake, but I do think there's a contingent of them that are absolutely real. And because this buzzword Bluebeam has been put into the ecosphere, put into the interwebs as the end all be all word for these videos, that now every video becomes fake. It's exactly what's happened with the whole AI culture right now, where AI has become really done well, right? The technology is there just for the average person to use, not to even consider what's behind the scenes that we don't know that's going on when it comes to AI technology. Now, when people see things, they're automatically questioning it as AI or CGI. That's what you're going to see a lot of too in conjunction with Project Bluebeam. You're going to see this over-encompassing fake AI idea when it comes to stuff that people don't believe in. You know, they'll see a video of a UFO and the classic one is, why is it always shot on a potato phone? Why is it always on a potato phone? Why does it always look shaky on a potato phone? Well, let me tell you something. One, not everyone in this world has the ability to have the iPhone 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, all the way up to where they're going to now. And I know a lot of those numbers don't exist yet. I'm just being funny and facetious. But the truth is, people do shoot videos on old phones. People still have iPhone 8s, iPhone 9s that they have to use. They can't afford these new phones. So some of that technology they don't have. So just because you're holding an iPhone 14, you're like, if I'd have seen that, I'd have shot it this way. Not necessarily true. Secondary, when you're dealing with the paranormal, which I do believe in, now we can argue about what the paranormal world is. And there are some people that, especially in this conspiratorial community, do not believe in the paranormal, do not believe in the spiritual aspect of anything. They think that is a falsity and that is designed to trick us. We'll get into a little bit of that today, maybe. But back to the point of every video that you see isn't necessarily fake, even though I think a lot of them could be for sure. I think some of them are manufactured. I think people do use CGI. I think people do use AI. I think those things exist, but that doesn't necessarily mean all of them are fake. When you're dealing with the paranormal, as I was just saying, do you not think that if something paranormal was to show up on a camera phone or any kind of recording device, that it wouldn't show up in the way that you think it would? Even an alien or UFO, people joke around all the time and say that it's super pixelated. I know that it was CGI. I know for a fact. Did you shoot it? Because how do you not know that that technology that they shot, that UFO or alien or whatever, was causing the pixelation? Have you thought about that? You know, we always joke about Bigfoot being blurry. How do we not know that Bigfoot's DNA makeup is designed to keep it blocked from recordings, keep it blocked from video, because it has some sort of cloaking technology? We don't know. Again, these are topics that none of us know. So unless you've seen the real thing, which generally people that will say something CGI or fake or scream Bluebeam on something haven't even seen the real thing or don't believe in it. So they immediately think it's fake. They go to it's fake. And another classic one that they'll say is it's a distraction. It's a distraction for what the government's trying to do. Maybe partially true, but that doesn't mean that those things in the spiritual realm aren't also in conjunction with what the government's trying to do. And we're not going to talk about it today, maybe a little bit when we talk about the NWO, but we do know that there are occult aspects to politics. We know in the entertainment business. We know in the sports entertainment business. We know in so many different facets of upper echelon elites that the occult exists. Now, whether you believe what the occult is or not, it does not negate the fact that you can't just sit there and discredit the symbolism they're using. They're clearly using it. Now, whether you think it works or not is a whole different debate, or you think it's real is a whole different debate, but these people believe in it. Now, they will act on what they believe, and I've said that plenty of times on other shows, and that's something we have to understand with a lot of these topics. So when you say that these UFO videos or cryptid videos or just a distraction to keep you away from this over here, how do you not know that that over there is not a distraction for this? You don't. I think, and I will hold fast to this, this is just what I believe, that all of these things are connected. And at the same time, simultaneously, a lot of it's fake. We have to be open to both sides of the spectrum. We can't sit there and say that we know for a fact certain things are fake or certain things are real in the speculative universe. We just can't do it. That's when we lose. And I believe that this Project Bluebeam has become a PSYOP. I don't think it initially started out as that. Now, I think there's some weird things that Serge Manasse talks about in the document where I'm a little leery because I don't think some of it's come to fruition. I don't know if some of it actually will come to fruition, but today we will talk about that actual document. We'll go through it. I'll show you the talking points. We'll break that down so you can understand exactly what's going on with Project Bluebeam, because that holographic piece is literally 20% of the document. It's not even what Project Bluebeam is. And I find it fascinating how easy it is to herd the truther community around, to herd the conspiratorial community around. It's what I've been saying since I started this show. It's very easy to get them to use buzzwords just like the normies that they rail against that use buzzwords too. You throw a couple words out there, you give them one documentary, or you give them three TikToks, and they're automatically yelling Bluebeam on every video that they see. When in actuality, they don't actually know if something's real or fake. You don't. Now, I think we should all walk into something with a healthy level of skepticism, but I am also cognizant enough to know when I see something that if I don't know exactly what it is, I can say, maybe I think that looks fake, but how do I know if I don't know what the real thing is? How do I know? We don't. So when you're seeing your feed blasted up by UFO videos or cryptid videos or whatever, have healthy skepticism. Say that, you know what, I don't buy that. But at the same time, know in the back of your head that maybe you don't know what that is. Maybe you don't. Because I think that the powers that be let some of that stuff out there into space, into the internet space for us to see, because that gives them plausible deniability. They've already let you see it. So when it happens, like, well, yeah, it's been out there. Now, when I think they come to us to talk about these things and release the information on those things, I think they could be highly manipulated on what they tell us those things are. But at the end of the day, everything's not fake and everything's not real. We got to get over this all-in mentality. That's where we lose. When we say we know something for a fact that's speculative, we've already lost. And that's where the truther community is today. So we're going to get into Serge Manasse. He was a Canadian investigative journalist, poet, essayist, and conspiracy theorist. He is known to English-speaking readers mainly for the originating conspiracy theory Project Bluebeam, which concerns an alleged plot to facilitate a totalitarian world government by destroying traditional religions and replacing them with a new age belief system using NASA technology. So right there, that is the tagline for Project Bluebeam. In nowhere at all does it say anything about holographic technology outside of NASA using technology, which is 20% of the document. Again, Project Bluebeam is not holographic technology. Let's be clear. Let's know what we're talking about before we start saying things. Let's get in the habit of that, because I have to do the same thing, guys, and I'm not railing on anybody. I'm just talking about, even from my point of view, I've been guilty of it too, where I'll use something as a basis to get my point across when I don't really know enough about said word or said subject to be able to speak on it that way. Because if I did, I wouldn't use that said subject or use that said thing. And I hope that this show will get people more accustomed to being able to do that, because I think Project Bluebeam's a big one right now. It's so hot. I've never seen Project Bluebeam so hot in the past 4 to 5 years than I have now. And Project Bluebeam, again, has been around since 1994. This isn't a new concept at all, but the idea of the concept has definitely changed. Now, in the early 1990s, he started writing on the theme of the New World Order. So even before Project Bluebeam, he was already writing about the New World Order and what he thought about that and secret societies. He talked about Freemasons and the Cabal, all of these things, right? In 94, he published Project Bluebeam, in which he detailed his claim that NASA, with the help of the United Nations, was attempting to implement the New Age religion with the Antichrist as its head to start the NWO via technology simulating the second coming of Christ. So that's a big piece of it, is the second coming of Christ, and not just the second coming of Christ, but the coming of the gods of whatever religion you follow. And I'll talk about that when I break down the paper, but it's very interesting how that's actually the central piece to it. It has nothing to do with UFOs and holographic technology per se, even though that's implemented in this idea. That's not what Project Bluebeam is. Now, cartoonist Christopher Knowles noted the similarity of Project Bluebeam to the plots of Gene Roddenberry's unproduced 1975 Star Trek screenplay, The God Thing, and the 1991 Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Devil's Due. So, I was a big Star Trek Next Generation fan, more so than the original Star Trek, because Star Trek Generation was during my era when I was growing up. So, I love Captain Picard, Data, all those guys. It was a fantastic show, in my opinion. So a lot of episodes of that show were almost like revelation of the method to things that are going on now. So Star Trek's Devil Do was very similar to that. So apparently in the episode, or I know in the episode, the Enterprise receives a distress call from a Dr. Howard Clark, who was the leader of a Federation of Scientific Delegation on Ventax 2, where the population's in a state of panic. They're convinced the Earth's going to end because, according to their mythology, 1,000 years ago, they entered a Faustian deal with Ardra, their mythology's devil. In exchange for ending wars and restoring the ecological balance and improving their heavily populated planet, the population would become the personal slaves of Ardra 1,000 years later. So that was the trade-off. We worship you now, we sign this Faustian deal, and then later, 1,000 years later, then we allow you to take over. So basically, all this stuff starts happening in the show. Weird stuff. Mild earthquakes start happening. They start seeing images of Ardra in the sky. It's a big deal because you're seeing all these signs and wonders. Now, Data is tracking it because he's an android and he can't see that anything's fake about it. He's like, no, the data is showing that these things are real. But Captain Picard doesn't believe it. He said something's off about this. And at the end of the day, they end up finding out that Ardra was actually a criminal who's in a cloaked ship who had this technology that was able to pull off all these signs and wonders and was basically about to have everyone sign over the entire planet to her. So Captain Picard also thought that she could be this character called Q, who is a member of the Q Continuum. Now, that's important because Q shows up in the very first episode of Star Trek Next Generation. And I've watched this episode several times, and I encourage anybody who has never watched Star Trek The Next Generation, just go watch the first episode. If you don't like it after that, fine, but at least you'll see something really cool because there's this character called Q who comes to Captain Picard and basically declares that humanity is being put on trial for savagery and decides that the Enterprise crew's actions in their upcoming mission will be used to judge humanity's worth and determine their fate as a race. So we have this hidden character Q who shows up and speaking in riddles and is like this AI holographic type of character who basically tells Captain Picard that depending on how they do on this mission, that's going to be humanity's fate. I thought that was interesting, man. This episode came out in 1987, and then we look at 2016, 2015, when Q shows up in the mainstream lexicon and starts talking to people and telling them behind a veil of what's going to happen in politics, what's going to happen in the world. There are correlations. Some people say revelation of method. Sometimes I think there's the flip side to it now, that people see science fiction and they mimic it. They copy it into whatever documents that they write. Now, to say that that's what Serge Manasse did with Project Bluebeam, I don't know. Now, it's very interesting that you have this episode of Star Trek that came out before he writes Project Bluebeam that had the same idea of tricking people with holographic technology as just a part of it into making people worship them as their all-encompassing ruler. It's very interesting. There's a crazy correlation there that people have seen, and there could be something to it. One way or the other, I think there could be something to it for sure. Now, the interesting thing about Serge Manasse is he died of a heart attack in his home in December 1996 at age 51. Here's the very interesting thing about that. So Serge Manasse wrote several books with a translator called Omar Fallali. Now, Omar Fallali, there's not much known about him. I've done some research. There's not a lot known about him except that he was a translator for Serge Manasse and worked on several books. Project Bluebeam, Toronto Protocols, United States Conspiracy Against Christianity, World Government, the Antichrist, several more. That's just some of the top ones that you'll see if you go to Amazon and try to buy it. You'll see that Omar Fallali was a part of this. Now, I bring up Omar Fallali because it's very important. Serge Manasse and Omar Fallali, who were both researching Project Bluebeam, died of heart attacks within weeks of each other, although neither had a history of heart disease. Now, this is going to come up now when I pull up the paper of Project Bluebeam about technology that can disrupt our biological systems, including your heart. Funny enough, Serge Manasse and Omar Fallali talk about this in the paper, and then 2 years later, after they've done all this research, you got to understand from 1994 to 1996, Serge Manasse was doing all kind of conferences about Project Bluebeam. So this is in a 2-year span. So then Serge Manasse, Omar Fallali both die within weeks of each other, 2 weeks of each other with heart attacks when neither of them had heart disease. And they were in separate places because Serge was in Canada while Omar Fallali was in Ireland. Now, this is another crazy piece to it. Prior to Serge Manasse's death, there were these quote-unquote unknown commandos that abducted Serge's daughter in an attempt to dissuade him from pursuing his research into Project Bluebeam. So again, there has to be some sort of level of possible truth coming out of Project Bluebeam. Now, I don't know if I buy everything of Project Bluebeam, or maybe they changed course after Project Bluebeam came out and they're like, you know what? We can't do exactly what this paper's saying anymore. We're going to have to hit up our 100 think tanks that started this and we'll change course, which I think happens. I think once information gets out and it's presented, I think there are think tanks that work for these elite systems that are designed to change course. So nothing ever is quite what it was intended to be from the get-go. And maybe he got access to this quote-unquote NASA information and then changed course, or at least the elites changed course from it after the info got out. That's a possibility. But the story is that his daughter was abducted by these unknown commandos and they went to him and said, you need to stop talking about this. And apparently he didn't, and his daughter was never returned, and then he died of a heart attack, and then Omar Fallali followed, who also died of a heart attack, within this 2-week span, which is super crazy in 1996. So I think that story alone, if we take it as truth, would validify Project Bluebeam at least having some major keynotes of truth in it. I think it's a possibility, and we're going to go through that paper now. I'm going to break down some of the main pieces of it, and I'm going to tell you what I think about it at the end, because again, I like some of it for sure, some of it I don't like, and then maybe the stuff I don't like is because they changed course from originally what they were going to do in the early 90s, and then, you know, everything's different now. We're talking almost 30 years later, or 30 years later, so, you know, definitely we got to look at it from that aspect. So it's actually built on 4 tenets. The first one being engineered earthquakes and hoax discoveries. The second one being big space show in the sky. Number 3, artificial thought and communication. Number 4, universal supernatural manifestations via electronics. And then a subset part of number 4 is phasing out cash and independence. And we're going to go into all 5 of these pieces, even though number 5 is a subset part of part 4, if that makes any sense. It's definitely weird how he wrote that, but I would consider it 5 pieces, even though that he states it as being 4 pieces. I will give a link to the actual Project Bluebeam document wherever you stream this, whether it's YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, wherever else that you get your podcast from. The document will be there, so you can actually read through it yourself. Now, we're going to get into the first part of it, which is engineered earthquakes and hoax discoveries. Now, this deals with the setup. with artificially created earthquakes at certain precise locations on the planet of supposedly new discoveries, which will finally explain to all people the error of all fundamental religious doctrines. Now, from all indications, Serge Manast is a Christian, or at least adheres to Christian ideology. That being said, when you read the document, he doesn't specify it as an attack on just Christianity. He says it as an attack on all religion, to wipe out religion, to create this false new religion. It's like an anti-religion religion. I know that doesn't make any sense, but it does as we're reading the document. It's a religion based on no religion, that these gods or these aliens of old are actually the gods, and they have come to us with this technology in conjunction with the Antichrist, which the Antichrist is going to be some sort of alien hybrid or alien that is presented to us in all manner of all religions. So all these religions are going to realize that it's always been this one overarching extraterrestrial that has guided us throughout centuries. Now, there's a lot of people that would adhere to that now, even people that are in the truther community that like that concept of the evolution of alien kind in galaxies far away that have helped manipulate the human genome throughout billions of years. If that's how you think, cool, man, I get it. We all have our way of looking at things. I don't think that there is a false representation as a whole there. I just think my worldview is a little different in how that's been manipulated throughout history. You know, myself being a Christian and looking at the gods is something a little different than aliens, even though they could be interchangeable as very similar, the same things. And I do agree with the Earth being most likely billions of years old and things being manipulated throughout. But I do think there's definitive creation. I don't believe in evolution as in whole species changing into other species. That's just not my belief system. If you believe that, that's fine. Just understand that the guy that pushed the evolutionary theory, which is still called a theory, by the way, because it's unprovable, it's just considered fact now because it's been in our education system for a long time. But the guy that pushed that, Charles Darwin, was a Freemason, as was his father documented to be a Freemason, and his son was also documented to be a Freemason in the UK. In the books, you can go look it up. So at the end of the day, you got a guy who's in a secret society that pushed this. You got to ask the questions why. If you believe it, that's fine, but understand where your information's actually coming from when you take that on board. Maybe in your mind, he's telling the truth, no matter if he's part of a secret society or not. Maybe that's his way of getting truth out, and he was told to, we need to release this truth because we need to find a way to manipulate it a certain way because it is true. You're more than happy to believe that. I just don't take that on board. I think Charles Darwin's sketchy, in my opinion. But back to engineered earthquakes and hoax discoveries. What's important to understand in the first step is that those earthquakes will hit at different parts of the world where scientific and archaeological teachings have indicated that arcane mysteries have been buried. By those types of earthquakes, it will be possible for scientists to rediscover those arcane mysteries, which will be used to discredit all fundamental religious doctrines. So what he's saying as part of this phase one of engineered earthquakes and hoax discoveries, these earthquakes are going to happen. Now, they're going to be manufactured by NASA, manufactured by the UN with technology. These earthquakes happen. They open up these areas that previously we couldn't get to. You've got scientists and archaeologists who are going to go into these areas they previously couldn't get to. They're going to find artifacts that are going to discredit religions as a whole. That's the point of it. That's what he's saying is going to happen. Now, he's going to say that these artifacts were planted by the governments, by NASA, by the UN. They were placed there for these scientists and archaeologists to find. So here's the piece of it, that trickle-down effect that I always talk about, the eye at the top of the pyramid and the bricks trickle all the way down. Doesn't mean necessarily these scientists and these archaeologists are in on it. They're just a part of the group that goes out and finds it. That doesn't mean that they weren't placed there by a group before that as a part of these earthquakes. These things are opened up and are seen, and then now they're put into the mainstream as, hey, here's some things that discredit the history that we thought we knew, or religious history, you know, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, whatever the religion is, it's there to discredit it. And that's part of what he said is that phase one. Now, I want to say a little bit about that. There hasn't been much since 1994, at least that we know of in the mainstream, of earthquakes happening and these crazy artifacts being found because of the earthquakes, not in droves, right? The way that Serge Manassas is talking about it, he thinks that the end of the world's coming within the next few years. Matter of fact, he even states around the year 2000. So Y2K, we know that nothing happened then. So we're now in 2024. So Serge Manassas is saying in 1994, when he wrote this document, that this is coming soon within the next 6 years. Now, I'm looking at the number of earthquakes since 2000. The top amount of earthquakes happened in 2011, which was 2,481. That's the most we've had. As a matter of fact, in 2022 and 2023, we've been on the lower side of earthquakes globally than we have at any other point during this stretch of 23 years. Last year, we had 1,712. And in 2022, we had 1,726. So we're actually on the lower tier. The higher end of it was in that 2010, 2011 is when we saw the highest spike. So if Serge Manassas thinks this is a part of it, it hasn't happened yet. Or if it has, they're keeping it behind closed doors and they're going to release it later and say, hey, this actually happened, but we were trying to figure out what to do with these artifacts and we didn't want the public to know yet until we figured it out. Possible. I just think that if that part of the document is going to hold true, that it's going to happen in the mainstream. We're going to know when it happens. So phase one, I don't think's happened yet, if it's going to happen, or they changed course since he put this document out there that this was a part of the original idea that they're going to have to deviate from because of what he said. And we got part two, the big space show in the sky. Now, this is the one that everyone thinks is Project Bluebeam. They think this is all of it, the all-encompassing Project Bluebeam, which is not. This is a 20% piece of what Project Bluebeam is. The second step in NASA's Project Bluebeam involves a gigantic space show with three-dimensional optical holograms and sounds, laser projection of multiple holographic images to different parts of the world, each receiving a different image according to predominating regional, national, religious faith. So, what's going to happen is this light show in the sky is going to happen. It's going to be a representative of whatever god you worship. And this god will be speaking in all languages. And it will let everyone know that I am the true God. And the plan is, according to this document, it's going to merge into this one form and then let you know that this supposed Antichrist, which it won't be called the Antichrist, it'll just be called God or some sort of alien hybrid version or alien version of whatever they're presenting, according to this document, that this is what it's always been. Now, there's two different aspects of step two. The first is the space show. Where does the space show come from? The space show, the holographic images will be used in a simulation of the ending during which all nations will be shown scenes that will be the fulfillment of that which they desire to verify the prophecies and adversary events. So, depending on what your religion is, whatever that ending is in whatever holy book that you read, that's what's going to be presented to you. So if you're a Christian, you're going to see Jesus in the sky. And according to this document, that there will be a technology that is able to lift up an enormous number of people as in a rapture and whisk the entire group into a never-never land. And he actually said, we see tests of this device in the abduction of humans by those mysterious little gray aliens who snatch people out of their beds and through windows into waiting, quote-unquote, motherships. Maybe. I don't know technology that lifts people out of their beds. We know plenty about alien abductions. Now, one thing we have to think about alien abductions is how much of it's in your head or in the astral realm where this is happening. How much is real that you're actually being abducted and lifted into some sort of alien craft, which I think is possible too. Now, we're talking about on a massive scale. And how are they just pinpointing Christians during this time? That's the other part of it, right? Are they just going and snatching up a bunch of people and then they're trying to flex to Christians that, hey, you aren't a real Christian, that's why you didn't get lifted up? I think that's part of what this document's trying to tell us. But he does lean heavily into the Christian side of things because, again, I do believe from all indications that he at least has Christian morals and he does think that there is a underlining attack on Christianity. I'm not in disagreement of that, but I do agree with what he's saying that they want to wipe out all religion, any kind of morality, to turn it into one central religion, one central place to look. And it's disheartening for people who have thought about something or believed in something their whole lives, and then to see something undercut it, even by deception, would be very difficult for people to take on board. So Project Bluebeam will pretend to be the universal fulfillment of the prophecies of old, as major an event as which occurred 2,000 years ago. In principle, it will make use of the skies as a movie screen. Now, he's saying they're going to use sodium layers about 60 miles thick, a space-based laser-generating satellite. So we know there's tons of satellites in the sky right now. We know Starlink's got tons of satellites already up there. It will project simultaneous images to the four corners of the planet in every language and dialect according to the region. So each one's going to be set to project something specific to that region. So back to whatever you believe in or whatever is, you know, culturally in a certain area, people will see. Now, that's also going to be difficult too, because not all regions believe the same. We could even talk about the United States, that we all believe differently. I mean, there are tons of religions in the United States. I think that's one of the biggest flaws about this particular document, is that how are they going to be able to manipulate everyone? Now, he does try to give some leniency to that, because he says computers will coordinate the satellites and software already in place to run the sky show. Holographic images are based on nearly identical signals combining to produce an image or hologram with deep perceptive, which is equally applicable to acoustic, ELF, VLF, and LF waves and optical phenomena. Now, I'm going to explain to you what a little bit of that is, the ELF, VLF, and LF. So ELF is extremely low frequency. VLF is very low frequency, and LF is low frequency, and it just refers to the range of 300 hertz to 30 hertz. So we're talking about very, very low frequencies that the average human being's not picking up audibly, but yet you're picking it up. So it is manipulating you. It's just in a way that you don't understand because it's a frequency. So basically, they're talking about radio waves like AM, FM signals, except at a lower frequency. So VLF, very low frequency radio waves, vibrate at frequencies that overlap the human hearing range, although we can't directly hear them, which I was just telling you. So very interesting enough, he does get into a whole spiel here in a minute, which I'm going to get into, of what these ELFs, VLFs, and LF waves do to people. Now, that may be what he means by each person individually is manipulated, because it's going to know the dynamics of each person and what they believe, and they're going to be seeing said thing depending on what they believe. I just think it's going to be difficult. And the way he writes the document, though, doesn't really specify that part of it. He's just talking about regionally. Well, we know as of now that 30 years later, around the world, people believe differently in different regions. You know, not every region believes the same thing. So I think that's one big flaw with this Project Bluebeam. But again, maybe in 94, he's looking at it as a little more regimented, and maybe they changed course. Maybe this Project Bluebeam was what he initially got a hold of. Or here's one we haven't talked about. Maybe he was fed this information by somebody who worked in the organization with half-truths. You know, that's how sometimes PSYOPs get started too, is people are fed information they think is real and then they put it out as total truth, but that's just a swerve. You know, Serge Manasseh might have believed this fully. He might not have been a part of the psychological operation, but he could have been manipulated by a psychological operation that this document was given to him by NASA, the UN, or whoever else he thinks gave it to him, or somebody came to him and said they're a part of this organization and weren't. They're a part of something else. We got to keep that in mind, too, when we're reading this document. We can't take it as full-on truth. Then the projections of Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, etc. will merge into one after correct explanations of the mysteries and revelations will have been disclosed. This one God will in fact be the Antichrist, who will explain that the various scriptures have been misunderstood and misinterpreted, and that the religions of old are responsible for turning brother against brother and nation against nation. Therefore, old religions must be abolished to make way for the new age, new world religion representing one God who's supposedly the Antichrist they see before them. Now, that's going to shake the world up if it happens that way, because people will not know what to believe. They believed one thing this whole time, and then this central God comes along and says, look, you guys have been fighting each other all this time because you're fighting over religion, which he won't be wrong. That's the best part about this. There's so many layers of truth to it because, yes, people fight over religion. People kill over religion. Christians fight other Christians. Muslims fight Christians. Christians fight Muslims. Judaism fights Muslims. You know, so many of these things happen throughout history. That's going to be the selling point when the Antichrist comes, if you believe that. If the Antichrist comes, it's not going to be something evil. You know, I love when people point at politicians right now and say that they're the Antichrist. I don't believe that anybody in politics currently is the Antichrist. Maybe I'm dying on that sword on the hill. I'm not trying to, and maybe I end up being wrong. I just don't think that any of these politicians globally that we know of are the Antichrist. Maybe somebody's being groomed through politics now at a lower level of politics that we don't know much about and is that said person. I don't think anybody in upper tier politics globally is the Antichrist. They're all too polarizing. The Antichrist won't be polarizing. He's going to be accepted and loved. He's not going to be called the Antichrist, guys. That's just what we call this person because he's supposed to be the antithesis of Jesus Christ. That's why they call him the Antichrist, because he's the opposite. He's going to be somebody who is highly motivating. He's going to up front show love, compassion, togetherness. He's going to be that dude. I'm telling you now, and people are going to accept him globally. That's why that he's going to be able to manipulate the world. At least biblically, that's what we're taught, if you take on board that part of it. Now, Serge Manast also talks about in 1974 that researcher G.F. Chapitz said one of the research proposals in this investigation, it will be shown that the spoken word of the hypnotist may also be converted by electromagnetic energy directly into the subconscious part of the human brain without employing any mechanical device for receiving or transcording the message, and without the person exposed to such influence having a chance to control the information input consciously. It may be expected that the rationalized behavior will be considered to have been taken out of their own free will. He's talking about those electromagnetic waves that manipulate our minds into seeing what they want us to see. So again, back to Project Bluebeam, it's not just about holograms. It's about tricking the mind, tricking the brain into believing what they want you to believe using frequencies. So again, they're manipulating you to believe something. Listen, you might not actually be seeing something in the sky. It might just be something they're manipulating you to see. You got to take that on board as well, especially with the technology that we know is out there now. Now, he does get into some of that too, which is the third phase, artificial thought and communication. The advancement of techniques propel us towards the third step in the Bluebeam project that goes along with the telepathic and electronically augmented two-way communication where ELFs, VLFs, and LF waves will reach each person from within his or own mind, convincing each of them that their own God is speaking to them from the very depths of their own soul. Such rays from satellites are fed from the memories of computers that have stored massive data about every human on Earth and their languages. The rays will then interlace with their natural thinking to form what we can diffuse the artificial thought. So, he does explain how you're going to hear everything. He doesn't explain necessarily how you see it. Now, again, I think that if we're talking about the advancement of technology since 1994, or even the technology they might have had then but we didn't know about, we have to take into account that if they're manipulating your mind to hear something, they could also manipulate your mind to see something too. So maybe that's how that they're going to use this Project Bluebeam to make you see whatever it is that you believe in. And maybe to the atheist, you see an actual alien entity. Maybe that's what you see because you're not going to believe in anything religious. So they're going to give you that new religion up front. Here you go. Aliens did it. We've been here for billions of years. We've manipulated all of humankind. You didn't think we were here, but we're here. And you're going to be accepting of it because we're all about Darwinism. And here you go. I think that's a possibility. Now, if we're looking at it as a way to manipulate your mind into seeing and hearing, I can see it. But if we're looking at projections in the sky regionally, I don't buy that part of it because people believe differently regionally. I can tell you that my neighbors more than likely think differently than I do about religion. That is more than likely possible. So they wouldn't project the same thing in the sky over all of us and expect us all to believe it. Just doesn't work that way. But we can look at the ELF, VLF, and LF technology in conjunction with some sort of mind manipulating technology, i.e. maybe the MK Ultra stuff, which he also talks about in this document when it comes to manipulating people's minds. Now, funny enough, he talks about, this is wild too. He talks about that NASA in this Blue Beam project has stated that the United States already has developed communications equipment that can make the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walk. It can relieve the terminally ill from pain without the use of drugs or surgery. And he says, he's not even talking about science fiction. He said a man might retain the use of all his faculties right up to the moment of his death. Now, he said, though, they will not use that technology to help people. They're going to use it to manipulate people into doing what they want them to do. Now, they may be able to offer some of these things if you're on board with the new agenda. What if the Antichrist, as a part of this new order that he's presenting, if you're doing what they want, if you're underneath their umbrella, that you're offered healing, you're offered wellness, you're offered some sort of financial support. I think that's going to happen. I think that's going to be part of you moving to the upper tier of evolution. And I think they may offer some other things, i.e. transhumanism as a part of this too, which he does skirt around that. He doesn't use the term transhumanism, but he does talk about that in a roundabout way as well. Now, he also talks about psychologist James V. McConnell, which published a 1970s issue of Psychology Today. Now, in this magazine, he says, the day has come when we can combine sensory deprivation with drug hypnosis and astute manipulation of reward and punishment to gain almost absolute control over an individual's behavior. It should then be possible to achieve a very rapid and highly effective type of positive brainwashing that would allow us to make dramatic changes in a person's behavior and personality. This was in the 1970s. They were already doing this with MK Ultra. They've been doing this with MK Ultra for a long time. They have so many different mind manipulation tactics that they have expounded upon over the years that we don't even know the names of now. He talks about this specifically as his third phase. So if they're manipulating our minds with devices, our phones, TV, computers, there's so many things that they could be slowly manipulating our minds with that when the time comes, it's not going to be hard to turn that switch on and make us see what they want us to see, according to this document. At least I'm reading in a little further because, again, this is 1994. He doesn't understand where technology is now in 2024. So I'm just looking at it from those lenses because, again, it is a little archaic in some ways, some of the stuff he's talking about, even though, again, there's a lot of truth to it. Now, back to what Serge Benast was talking about, the ability to heal, make the blind see, make the lame walk, make the deaf hear. It also works adversely, and he talks about that here too. Now, he talks about in this book called The Body Electric, the Nobel Prize nominee Dr. Robert O. Becker describes a series of experiments conducted in the early 1960s by Alan Free, where this phenomena was demonstrated, as well as later experiments conducted in 1979 at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research by Dr. Joseph C. Sharp, who personally underwent tests in which he proved he could hear and understand messages delivered to him in an echo-free isolation chamber via a pulsed microwave audiogram, which is an analog of the world's sound vibration beamed into his brain. Becker then goes on to state, such a device is obvious application for covert operations designed to drive a target crazy with unknown voices or deliver undetectable instructions to a programmed assassin. So he's already talking about in the 1960s, they were doing these experiments all the way up to 1973 at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. They were putting people in echo-free isolation chambers, and they were sending microwave audiograms into their brains to make them go crazy, to make them hear voices. You ever thought that maybe sometimes people that are hearing voices aren't necessarily hearing something that's from the other side? You know, outside of the obvious mental help that some people need, because I do believe that exists. But there are people that hear things talking to them. What if it's not entities? What if it's not some of these other things from the other realm, which I do think exist? But what if it is some sort of experimentation from the government practicing devices on certain people? I'm not even saying those people are a threat to the government. I'm just saying they're using them as test subjects. Hey, I know this person lives out here. I'm going to try it on them. Let's see how it works. I think it happens. Alan Free also reports that he could speed up, slow down, or stop the hearts of isolated frogs by synchronizing the pulse rate of microwave beams with the heart itself. According to Dr. Robert Becker, similar results have been obtained using live frogs, which shows that it was technically feasible to produce heart attacks with rays designed to penetrate the human chest. Ho, ho, ho! Here it is! Causing heart attacks by using certain frequencies. Now, I know we've heard of the CIA and some covert operations having devices that can give people heart attacks, that can take people out in certain ways. And here it is right here where Dr. Robert Becker talks about them being able to do this with frogs. Alan Freak talks about being able to slow stop the hearts of frogs. Okay. You know, they've been doing some sort of testing on humans. And I do think it's really weird that 2 years after Project Bluebeam drops, after Serge Manast, Omar Fallali, they go to these conferences, they're presenting this idea to people, this Project Bluebeam's getting out into the cultural sphere, that they both die within 2 weeks of what? Heart attacks. I'm just saying it's weird. Maybe they both had real heart attacks, even though they had no heart conditions up until that point. I'm not saying it's not a possibility. I'm just saying it's weird. Here he is talking about in this document, after it said that they took his daughter away and told him to stop talking about this Project Bluebeam. At least that's the story that we're told. And then they both die of heart attacks. Really, really, really interesting. He also talks about that the same equipment and technology has been used to influence politics in a much more direct fashion. He talks about Michael Dukakis, the Democratic candidate running against George Bush in the 1988 election, was supposedly targeted with microwave technology in order to impede his public speaking performance once the public opinion polls showed he posed a serious threat to Bush's election prospects. So he's having speeches. He's not doing well. They said he was basically zapped with this microwave technology to mess up his presidential race against George W. Bush. And I think this goes into the left-right paradigm. Both sides are essentially a part of the same bird. However, I don't think everybody on both sides get along. And I don't think people at the top all get along either. I think that that's a misnomer to the average person. We point to the big bad and we say they're all working together and all laughing it up. No, they all have egos too. I mean, look at entertainment industry. People are squabbling and fighting all the time, and it's not all just for show. You know, you're going to see that a lot in the scripted world mentality of, It's all a script. It's all fake. They're all fighting just to keep us entertained, even though it's not real. There's a part of that that could be true. Yeah, I think there are things that are manufactured to keep our minds distracted from some things that we should be looking at. But that doesn't mean that all these people get along. It doesn't mean that all the things that we see that's drama unfolding is all fake either. Back to everything's not fake. A lot of these guys don't like each other either at the top. They're all money hungry, power hungry. They want their lot in life. They want to take the other guy out. That's kind of what happens when you're in that mentality of me, selfish. When you're not looking out for other people, you're going to be selfish to a point to where you want to be on top, and you're going to step on other people, even other elites, to get higher up the food chain. We got to look at it that way too, guys. I think that's something that we miss a lot in this truth or conspiratorial community, that somehow these elites are all in it together to a point. There's an overarching goal there, but that doesn't mean that some of those guys don't go off the rails too and do their own thing. You know, it's been argued that Putin was one of those guys who was said to have been installed by the Clintons, and then he decided he would go off the rails and do his own thing. It doesn't mean that he's not a part of the overarching concept of what they want to achieve globally, but he's still doing his own thing. Doesn't mean that he doesn't go off the rails and look out for himself. I think that happens more often than not. I think you've got a lot of mob gang culture in the elite sectors. You're going to see that. These guys aren't all getting along, guys. That's really, we got to get over that. We really do. So we've got the fourth one, universal supernatural manifestations via electronics. The fourth step concerns the universal supernatural manifestation with electronic means. It contains three different orientations. One is to make mankind believe that an alien off-world invasion is about to occur at every major city on Earth in order to provoke each major nation to use its nuclear weapons in order to strike back. We've heard this one a million times. This is kind of part of what most people think about Project Bluebeam, that there's going to be this fake alien invasion. We're going to see all these holograms in the sky. People are going to break all their nukes, at least get on the verge of using them. And then this alien being is going to come to us, or whatever savior politically is going to come to us, unite the world together to fight this cause. That's a pretty common one in the conspiratorial community. I'm not going to negate it. I think it's got some validity to it. I think it's something that could work. Now, is it going to work for everybody that knows this concept? I don't know. Maybe they tweak the concept where it's not quite this. The second is to make Christians believe that the rapture is going to occur with the supposed divine intervention of an alien civilization coming to rescue earthlings from a savage and merciless demon. So here's this other piece of it, that Christians are going to think the rapture occurs with this technology that lifts all these people up into this unknown place, maybe interdimensionally, again, according to this document. And then these aliens are to come and stop this demon who has come from wherever. He doesn't explain in this document exactly, but they're going to come and stop this. Now, he does say it's going to be part of the sky show, part of the holograms that we see. So back to the holograms. Again, 20% of this holograms, it's going to be part of this. It's just not the over-encompassing directive of this, because there's more to Project Bluebeam than holograms. The third orientation is the fourth step of a mixture of electronic and supernatural forces. The waves used at that time will allow supernatural forces to travel through optical fibers, coaxial cables, electrical, and phone lines in order to penetrate everyone at once through major appliances. Embedded chips will already be in place. So he does go into a little spiel about embedded chips, that if people have already accepted the chips, which we know certain countries are already doing chips if you want to, instead of having your credit cards or whatever else. This isn't a conspiracy theory. That's a known fact. This is happening in certain countries. You have the option. They're not forcing it on you, but they are giving you the option to be able to do that, as this was the thing of the past where people thought this was a conspiracy theory that wasn't going to happen, or at least it was the one that the people who don't believe in conspiracies at all pointed to conspiracy theorists and said they were crazy about. Well, that's actually in the mainstream media. They literally are putting chips in people if they want to. Again, this is not something they're making people do yet. And maybe they never do. Maybe that's not what is going to be this quote-unquote mark of the beast. We don't know what that's going to be. Everybody says the chip, but man, in the 80s, they were saying a barcode. You know, before that, they were saying it was going to be some sort of branding or tattoo. You know, every generation's got their version of what they think this mark of the beast is going to be. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I don't really know what that is necessarily going to be. I just think everybody thinks they have the answer to something that none of us know. I think it's going to be out of left field. It's going to be something we're not even thinking about. So he says, after the night of 1,000 stars, worldwide populations will be ready for the new Messiah to reestablish order and peace at any cost, even at the cost of the abdication of freedom. So basically, people are going to give up their freedom and rights to be saved from all of these things that are happening. Alien invasions, on the cusp of nuclear war. People are losing their minds because of these low frequency waves attacking them. Now, he does add a piece to the fourth part. It's called Phasing Out Cash and Independence. Now, he says, according to reports we have received, we believe it will begin with some kind of worldwide economic disaster. Not a complete crash, but enough to allow them to introduce some kind of in-between currency before they introduce their electronic cash to replace all paper or plastic money. I mean, we're already seeing it. I don't know if necessarily there's going to be some sort of worldwide economic disaster as much as maybe a trickling effect, that it's just going to be a beatdown over X amount of years to the point that you wake up one day and everything's electronic. We're already seeing it. You know, I had a buddy of mine who went to a bank down in Florida, walked in, there were no tellers. Everything was electronic. He's like, what's going on here? So he walks up to this, you know, automated system, banking system. He's putting money into like a drawer. It's moving it around. He ends up seeing the manager that's there. And he asks her, he's like, this is weird. And she even said, yeah, it is weird. She's like, but it just happened recently. They came in and changed everything. They laid off a bunch of tellers and everything's electronic now. And she said to him, you're going to see more of this until it's all this. So I think eventually that we're going to move to some sort of worldwide electric currency. Now, this isn't a conspiracy theory. They want to do this. We've heard this in the WEF. We've heard this similarly in governments around the world. It would make things easier, especially people that travel. You know, you go from country to country. It's all using the same currency. It's going to be presented as a good thing. But when you don't have viable cash, or you're not using gold, silver, or whatever else as a form of currency, it's really just all fiat money. It's digital money. It's whatever they want to divvy out to use as currency to buy things. And this is what Serge Manasseh is talking about in this document in 1994. And that part of it, I can tell you right now, they're moving towards. That's something we do know. We do know that they are moving towards a digital currency, which I think will start out nationally. And then it'll move into a worldwide currency. We know that companies like Ripple with XRP, which XRP is considered a cryptocurrency, but it's actually the mover of cryptocurrency. A lot of countries have already taken XRP on board as their primary mover of digital currency. So once this gets implemented in all countries, that's going to be your mover. That's going to be a way to move whatever digital currency that you're using until they finally solidify some sort of set digital currency, which it may be a long time before that, guys. It's not going to, I don't think we're going to wake up tomorrow and it's happened, but I think if we're not careful, we may wake up tomorrow and it's happened, if that makes any sense, that we may, without knowing as things progress, 30 years from now, you wake up, it may be different. I don't know. That part of it, I can't give you a timeline. I know people want to always give some sort of doomsday timeline. We don't know, guys. It could be 2,000, 4,000, 10,000 years from now when the end of the world happens. I'm not too consumed with that part of life. You know, I can say that there was a part of my life where that was something that controlled me to an extent, because it does. It elicits fear. It elicits an emotion in people, and it makes people angry. And people like to be angry sometimes, especially if they're unhappy with themselves. And I think that, yes, while we need to look at things coming down the pipe, we also need to have a faith and trust in God. If you have that, that he's bigger than that. And even if the end of the world's coming, we should know that we're going to be okay in the end. I think that's where I'm at with it. That's why I always say, touch grass and get your tail out the hole. Yeah, we can look at these things, know that they're on the way, but also not let them control us. And this is very similar to what was going on in 1994. Think about this. He was preaching this as gospel. He was preaching this as gospel in 1994 to people through 1996 who probably thought this was going to happen tomorrow every time they heard it, or at least by 2000, because that's what he was telling them. It clearly didn't happen. Do you know, like every 10 years, there's always something about to happen on the cusp of happening? Are things progressing towards something? Obviously, every day we wake up, something's progressing towards something. But that doesn't mean that we're going to die tomorrow, or we need to live like we're going to die tomorrow. Even if the end of the world was tomorrow, we don't need to live like it. So he basically says, if everyone's broke, no one can fund a war of any kind. Paper currency will cease to exist. This is one of the first signs of this phasing out cash and independence. So he's basically saying even with people that have a lot of money who would push back against the narrative of this NWO, if all of their currency is digital, they won't be able to. They're controlled at that point because they can just cut it off. And so Serge Manasse ends this entire document with, if you cannot see, you cannot learn. If you cannot understand, then you and your family and friends will succumb to the fires of the crematoria that have been built in every state and every major city on earth, built to deal with you. No one is safe in a totalitarian police state. Now, he's not wrong, but there is a lot of fear-mongering in this paper. I'm not going to play around with it. You know, I've read it several times over the years, and the more I've read it, the more I saw a lot of fear-mongering into making people extra fearful that something is actually about to happen. Like, I need to live my life in fear. I don't think we should take the document that way. I think we should read it and understand that there are probably some truths in it, or at least some potential truths in it, some things that have been verified, you know, especially when he's talking about mind manipulation through low frequency waves and technology that could possibly heal people, that could also be used as a weaponized version to hurt people. I think some of that stuff for sure exists. I think we have technology behind the scenes in different areas of the government and scientific departments. I don't think that's a stretch to say that we don't have some of those things. But there are other parts of the document where I'm saying that he wrote this in 94 and those things didn't happen. Like he said, they were going to happen. So maybe that if this document was given to him by somebody who worked for one of these organizations, either they fed him a half truth and gave him lies on top of it, or what they fed him was true at the time. And then when this information got out, they changed course, which I think happens a lot, guys. I think that's why we always have to be evolving our mind and ideas, because you got to know that there are thousands upon thousands of think tanks around the world that know that if something fails, they have 100 other options that they're going to hit you with. You got to know that. That's why you can't say that a theory or an idea about something is an absolute fact when that fact that was a fact in the moment could absolutely change within the next 5 years. So I think Project Bluebeam is one of those theories that has changed throughout the years. I don't think Project Bluebeam is holographic technology, as you'll now understand by me going through this document. It is 20% of it. So I encourage you, some of you might not, to not use the term Bluebeam as a buzzword for what you think is fake, because it's just not what it is. It is the complete opposite of that. It's not what the word means or the two words mean. I understand why people do it, because it's something easy to get off your chest when you feel like you're looking at something that's something you believe is a distraction or whatever else. But I encourage people to use your cognitive mind and grow beyond that. Let's start understanding what some of these theories are at the root core, and then build upon that into how we can live our lives fully. And I hope that you guys got something out of this today. I had a blast doing this. I've been wanting to do this subject for like 2 years. And I know people that have followed me from other podcasts and listened to me talk about this subject before. I've actually been more aggressive in the past about what I thought about Project Bluebeam. I'm definitely not trying to come across that way now. I want to, you know, give people the opportunity to learn. Just like myself, I'm always learning, and I could be totally wrong about things too. I just think that if we bottleneck ourselves into what we think about something without truly knowing what it is, that we're going to shortchange ourselves and how we can grow in life. But in saying that, love you guys. This was a fantastic episode. 5-star reviews. Go right now. If you didn't at the beginning of the show, go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, go here to YouTube and Rumble, where I've got video up. So if you're listening to this right now and didn't know I had video, you can go to Free the Rabbits on YouTube and Rumble and write a comment there. I try to read as many comments as I can every week. Again, I love you guys. Also, go check out my music. You can go to Linktree/Joel Thomas Media. You can get to my music on any platform. Just type Joel Thomas in on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you get your music at. I've got tons of music out. And we're going to end it today with Missing, which is the lead single off of a documentary that I'm also a part of called Sasquatch and the Missing Man with Tony Merkel and Wes Germer from Sasquatch Chronicles. You can go and purchase that film at merkelfilms.com. Love you guys. Now go outside and touch grass and get your tail out the hole.
Thought my old motto was a VA. I was working for cylinders to death. Put it on me, no teammate. Dreams running on fumes, no rest. You could bargain for my soul for a mansion and a couple billboards, no less. Yeah, thank God for a couple roadblocks. I don't know if I'd have stopped where the road ends. Spent years looking for the real me, always came up missing. Yeah. Try to find it at the bottom of the bottle, and I promise ain't sipping. Yeah. Drowning in my vices, I thought I was flying. On the sidelines, trying to be the highlight, but under the bright lights, breaking all the guidelines. Yeah, Mr. Bull with no lifelines. Yeah, screaming, I don't need you. Fighting, but I'm free too. Neon lights make a path for my breath, like smoke in the cold every weekend. Spend years looking for the real me, always came up missing. Yeah, try to find it at the bottom of the bottle, and I promise ain't sipping.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ready to plug into the future of podcasting? The Podcast Show is back. The biggest international festival for the business of podcasting hits London on the 21st and 22nd of May. Join over 10,000 creators, brands, and audio pros for 2 packed days at the Business Design Center in Islington. We're talking over 130 game-changing sessions with industry heavyweights, award-winning talent, and exclusive parties and networking events that go way beyond the show. And that's not all. The Podcast Show Live brings your favorite podcasts to life at venues across London all week long. Day passes start from just £109. Book now at thepodcastshowlondon.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win?
Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ready to plug into the future of podcasting? The Podcast Show is back. The biggest international festival for the business of podcasting hits London on the 21st and 22nd of May. Join over 10,000 creators, brands, and audio pros for two packed days at the Business Design Center in Islington. We're talking over 130 game-changing sessions with industry heavyweights, award-winning talent, and exclusive parties and networking events that go way beyond the show. And that's not all. The Podcast Show Live brings your favorite podcasts to life at venues across London all week long. Day passes start from just £109. Book now at thepodcastshowlondon.com.